Isn't it wonderful that we have the Bible as our authority? We don't have to trust our minds. We can read it in the Bible. And may this study also be a blessing to you as it has been for me. Now, we've been looking with great intensity and at Jeremiah chapter 20. Now we find that beginning in verse 14, we have strange language. And when we analyze this very carefully in the light of the rest of the Bible, we find that here God is using Jeremiah as a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Here is the Lord Jesus laden with all of our sins, and he is crying, oh, I'm cursed, I'm cursed. I wish I was never born. And yet look at verse 15. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. Was God glad that Christ had become a curse? And when I say that, we have no idea how enormous that is. We just have no idea. We just talk about it as words, but really, when you think about it, it has to be something super, super, super enormous. And so for Christ, on the one hand, oh, if only I didn't have to go through this. And on the other hand, there's joy in the presence of the angels. There is joy in heaven. The Father is glad because Christ, remember, Christ came to do the will of the Father. And he, remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, not my will, but thine be done. And so there is happiness in the Godhead because Christ is faithfully carrying out the program that God had set forth in order to provide for our salvation. Remember, all of this that we're talking about is for you and for me if we become a child of God. How can that be? All of this trauma where Christ, and when we read the Gospel of Mark, let's just turn to that a moment. When we read the Gospel of Mark and we see Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane, in verse 34 of Mark 14, and Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. He's talking to his three apostles, and then he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Can't this be taken away? Say, three times he prays. This passage in Jeremiah 20 is really highlighting the fact that we have to separate the physical trauma of Jesus from the spiritual trauma altogether. They're two separate issues all together. They're two separate issues. The physical trauma, I'm emphasizing this and emphasizing this because this is not well understood at all. The physical trauma of Jesus had nothing to do with payment for sin. It is the spiritual trauma. In his physical trauma, as I said earlier, Simon of Cyrene assisted him in carrying his cross because he had become so weakened in his physique, in his physical situation, that he needed help. But that didn't that had nothing to do with payment for sin. And that's why God says we are to take up our cross. In other words, we are to be ready to suffer for Christ as Christ suffered, as he was beaten, as he was nailed to the cross, as he was slandered and vilified. We are to expect the very same thing. We are to take up our cross. We walk in the shoes of Simon of Cyrene, but when he's saying, that we're to take up our cross. It has nothing to do with that. Somehow we're making a tiny little payment toward the payment for our sins. No, that is strictly the work that Christ endured. Well, now you see, we see here this man who gave the message. What does it say? And let that man, verse 16, we're back in Jeremiah 20, and let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not, and let him hear the cry in the morning. The word cry is similar to what we find. It's the same word, as a matter of fact, of what we find in the context will certainly bring us there. Jeremiah 51, verse 54. In Jeremiah 51, verse 54, we read there, a sound of a cry cometh from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, because the Lord hath spoiled Babylon and destroyed out of her the great voice, when her waves do roar like great waters, and so on. In other words, it's the cry of being under the judgment of God, of being under the wrath of God. And it is Christ who was the Lamb. He was the high priest. He was the man that was really announcing to God. Notice it says, the man. Did you see that in Jeremiah 20? Where it says in verse 15, cursed be the man. The man. Who can that only be? Christ, he is the man as he serves as the high priest, he also serves as the Lamb. And it is from him that the message goes to God that yes, the payment is made. Christ has been laden with all of our sins. And the shouting at noontide, you know, the shouting, that's a word that has to do with the sound of alarm, that judgment has come, or even that something wonderful has come. But the noontide reminds us of the fact that it was right at noon. There were 3 hours of darkness. 3 hours of darkness beginning at noon when Christ was hanging on the cross. And that 3 hours, it's like God has blanked us out. He's just blanked us out. There was darkness, and God doesn't discuss anything. Darkness of the wrath of God. God has blanked us out. And yet we know at the end of that period, now we puzzle about the language, because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow. We have to be careful not to read more into this than what we find allowable in the Bible. Look at Psalm 58 just a moment, because that does pertain. Psalm 58, verse 3, the wicked, and that includes every human being by nature, because we're all wicked by nature. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear. And now notice what God says about them in verse 6. Oh, those lovely little children. If only they didn't live, then maybe there would be no punishment. No way. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually. And of course, there are those who argue, well, I know, but that baby never sinned. No, that baby was born infected with sin. That baby already was in rebellion against God. Not overt, not literally shaking his fist at God, but in principle, because that baby is infected with sin, it's already under the wrath of God. Incidentally, it's interesting, you know, in the book of Job, in Job 3, and the book of Job, and we're not going to start developing the book of Job. That's a very difficult book, incidentally, to go through. But as many, many chapters in the Bible are difficult. But Job, by and large, as we look at Job, the book of Job, we find that Job was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he started with everything going his way, he lost everything, and then again he ends finally having everything back again. Here we find in Job 3, verse 1, after this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. Same language, you see. He is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the day that has been cursed. He is let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and shadow of death stain. You see what the nature of this language is? You see what the nature of this language is? To be under the curse of God is to be totally absent from the light of God, Christ, the light of salvation. And here again, God is using rhetorical language to indicate that to be under the curse, the day is darkness. Let not God regard it from above, verse 4, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Oh, in other words, that day, Christ, he had become that kind of a curse. He came altogether under the wrath of God in full blown, no limits at all. And as you go through the rest of Job 3, you find additional language that is underscoring this, that to be under the curse means that you're in spiritual darkness. And he came up with the same conclusion. Verse 10, or verse 9, let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Here, therefore, in this chapter 20 of Jeremiah, to get back to it, God has opened our spiritual eyes to the tremendous fact, and I want to repeat this because it is so important we understand this, that we absolutely understand that the physical trauma that Christ endured had nothing to do with payment for our sins. That is what the Christian world does not understand at all. They are looking heavily at the physical trauma as the payment, and yet when we examine that physical trauma, it was no different than many Christians have endured who have been slowly tortured and put to death in the most painful way possible for standing for Christ. That kind of a suffering we can expect, as horrible as it may be. Remember what we learned from Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we read there about how we enter into the suffering of the Lord Jesus, but it has to be in the area of the physical trauma. We read in verse 24, who now, this is Colossians 1, verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings. This is Paul speaking, but he's a human being like the rest of us. He needed salvation like all of us do. He can speak for any true believer, who now rejoice in the verse is introduced by the last part of verse 23. I, Paul, am made a minister who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. That is the body of true believers. The eternal church would have to be in view here. The fact is that we, as the body of Christ, see what happened? Christ suffered physically from the fact that the world did not want him. He came to his own, and his own did not want him. He was rejected. He was despised and rejected of men. Then he went back to heaven, but he left somebody here. He left his body here. Yeah, every true believer is the body of Christ. And we continue to walk in his shoes, suffering for in the same way we are going to be rejected by the world. We're going to be slandered and vilified and all these other ugly things. Now we're beginning to see the grand picture, really, of what happened at the cross. Next time we're going to go on into Jeremiah 21 and see what we're going to learn from that.